Today's date is May the 11th. I'm Patsy Colbert, and I'm at the History Center with Berlin Wilkerson. And I'm going to interview Mr. Wilkerson today about integration at Diboll Public Schools. And Mr. Wilkerson, just to get us started, if you will, just tell me when and where you were born.
I was born in Houston in 1950.
Okay. And when did you come to Diboll?
We moved here when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
And that was before school, before I was old enough to go to school, but I was six.
And so did you started school in Diboll?
Yeah, started first grade in Diboll.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I saw in the annual where you graduated in 1969.
Right.
Okay. And tell me about your going to school here, and our main focus today is about integration of Diboll schools. And just for the record, 1965 was the year of freedom of choice. And then
okay.
66.
I couldn't remember what year that started.
Yeah, 65. Mm-hmm. 66, they ended the athletic program at H.G. Temple High School, and the male seniors came over to the Diboll White School. 1967, the high school was fully integrated, and fall of 68. Was full integration.
Okay.
So tell me when you were in school and what grade you were in when integration took place and how you come to know about integration.
Well, with those years, I guess I would have been a freshman when we started, and I didn't remember it being, I thought I was a junior because I really don't remember many of the students coming over to our school until I was a junior.
Right.
And so I guess I just didn't, maybe they weren't in my classes, or maybe I just wasn't associated with those that had come in 66, 67, until early 68 and then 69.
So really
67 and 68.
So really until your junior year. And I did look back at the annuals, to see, you know, how many students were there your senior year. And according to the annual, there were 16 black students in your senior year. Yes, your freshman year would have been the first year of freedom of choice, and there were no black students at the high school. They only had one black student, Valerie Anderson, to go to first grade in the first year of freedom of choice. And then your sophomore year, 66-67, there were two black students, boys, I believe, at the campus.
At the high school?
Yes, sir, at the high school. And then your senior year, 67-68, was the year that they integrated the high school. So do you remember anything particularly about that year, your junior year, when the blacks would have come over?
I really don't remember very much, except that everybody that I was associated with were very nice. I'd never met any of those students, and they were extremely easy to get along with and respectful to everybody as far as I could tell.
Okay.
And so that's the main thing I remember, I guess, for my junior and senior year, was that we just seemed to have a really good group.
Good. Had you been around black children or other students of the black race before integration?
No black children. My daddy had a barber shop, and he had a man who shined shoes for him, a black man, but he was an older man, and I'd been around him some. And other than that, I really didn't have much contact with black folks.
Okay. And what about your first knowledge of integration going to take place?
Well, I guess we talked about it at home. I'm sure we had. I don't remember specific conversations. And I'm sure that my parents probably were opposed to it in general, because they're from the South and they're from East Texas, and that was something you didn't do, and the races stayed separate. And I don't remember anything ever derogatory being said, but it seems that the atmosphere in my home was that this was not the thing to do.
So you just knew from just overhearing conversation, mm-hmm. and you just knew that that's how your parents felt about it.
Yeah.
Was there any conversation of what you should or shouldn't do at school?
I don't remember anything. Okay. No, don't at all. I don't ever. I don't even remember even discussing integration with my parents as far as school is concerned. I guess that I came in and talked about the new students that were there, but I don't remember any specific conversations about it. Mm-hmm. So I suppose it was just fairly mundane.
Right. Is that how you learned about integration going to take place? Or do you remember how you became aware?
I don't remember specifically. I know that we talked about it at school because we did current events and those kinds of things, mm-hmm. and we had our history classes, and I'm sure we discussed it, but I really don't remember a specific time when there was a discussion about the concept.
Okay. So at home, you don't really remember your parents having a discussion about integration and do's or don'ts?
Not really.
Thoughts or instructions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like I said, it's just like, you know, the general idea was that they would not be in favor of it.
Right.
In a personal life.
And how did your parents react to integration actually taking place?
I don't remember any specific reactions. I don't know that I ever heard them be vehemently opposed to anything or say anything particular about any particular person. I think it was just the concept was that they had grown up with separation and they just weren't ready for integration.
Right. And that's just the way they were raised,
mm-hmm.
and
doesn't
mean that
that's all they knew.
That's all they knew. Mm-hmm. That's right. And how did you feel personally about integration?
As far as a personal feeling, I don't know that I had a specific stand or position on it. I'm guessing, this has been a long time ago, but I'm guessing that probably I felt the same way as my parents did, because my parents and I always got along pretty well together, and we still see things about the same way, and I suspect that I probably felt about the same way they did, as far as that it wasn't the thing that I would be in favor of. But also, I felt like that it was something that I probably could not stop, and I didn't try to, and I didn't try to express that view as far as I can remember.
Right.
It was just, this is going to happen, okay, we'll live with it.
You just accepted it,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
made the best of it. And
yeah.
Well, it's pretty common that as children, you know, we're molded by our parents, mm-hmm. so... We tend to have the same views
yeah.
on a lot of things growing up, especially that our parents had. Can you remember having a class in those first years, especially your junior year and your senior year, and if you had class with the black students and how the classroom was, if everybody got along or?
I don't ever remember any problems in those years. Later on, after I became a teacher,
okay.
I do. I mean, we might want to get to that later.
Okay, okay.
But
yes.
As far as why we were in school, I don't remember particular problems. I'm sure that there were times when there were individual problems. I can remember, and I don't remember, I can't tell you a name, but I know there were times when a white and a black boy got in a fight together, but it wasn't so much of a integration color thing. It was just two boys got in a fight, and that's kind of the way we saw it.
Yeah, just a typical school day,
yeah,
two boys
yeah.
getting a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean it was a racial issue.
I don't remember it being.
Right. Did you make new friends with black
yes,
students?
Yes, okay. Not close friends. I never did associate closely with any of the students. Many of them were involved in sports, and I was not.
Okay.
And so that kept me from being closely associated with them. I did FFA, and I did some UIL one-act play and that kind of thing. And we had very few blacks involved in those activities that I was involved in. And so it's mainly just class.
Right.
And so I really didn't get to be close friends with anybody.
Just your circle of friends mm-hmm. was in different activities.
And I guess when I was a senior, I worked on the yearbook. It seems like that we had one black girl who worked on the yearbook also. I don't remember if that's the case or not. We'd have to go back and look in the yearbook and see.
I believe you're referring to Genova Scott.
That could be it.
I looked in the yearbook this morning, actually.
So if she was on that staff, then we worked together some, and I would probably...
I believe she was. She actually was very involved with a lot of things.
I would probably have been more... I would have been closer to her.
She was the fourth ranking senior mm-hmm. for 68-69, mm-hmm. class of 69, your graduating class.
Right.
And I saw where you actually were valedictorian mm-hmm. for the senior class, and she was the fourth ranking student.
Yeah.
So she was very smart. And mm-hmm. so you might have had some, dealings with her in certain classes mm-hmm. due to your interest and everything. I believe she was on the annual staff.
I think that's probably right.
Your senior year, there were four black students to graduate, mm-hmm. first year of full integration that year. Now, prior to that, your junior year, 67-68, which would have been the first year of high school integration, which included the girls and the mm-hmm. the boys, not just the athletic
right.
program, but the girls and boys. And there were a total of 16 black students your junior year, but then the senior year, there was only four. Do you recall anything, you know, about what happened to the rest of those students? Did they just quit? Was
no
there
idea.
Any reason? No idea.
No idea. And I didn't even know that.
I thought that was very interesting.
I just remember
statistics there.
I remember Zenova, and there was another girl. Was her name Darlene?
Yes.
And Roy, I believe, was one of the boys. And Johnny Jones.
Yes.
And that's about all I remember. Right. Now, there was one more boy. What was his name? Scott? Was his last name Scott? But those are the ones I remember, and that's really all I remember.
Okay. Do you have any recollection of how your fellow students or your friends felt about integration?
No. I can't remember any discussions or conversations with any specific person about it.
Well, that's good. It probably means that it didn't really happen, or if it did, it wasn't a big issue.
It wasn't a big thing. It
wasn't anything that left a lasting impression.
Didn't know me, anyhow. I can remember three or four guys in my class that we had gone to school together quite a few years, and I can remember I would say they were prejudiced.
Right.
And I don't know that I remember any specific conversations or anything. It was just that looking back now, I would think, you know, they really had a lot of prejudice in those days. But I don't remember, you know, any kind of problems or stirring up anything. Or I don't remember anything like that.
You don't remember any incidents that mm-hmm. happened
no.
at school, good or bad, due to integration?
I don't remember it.
Okay.
I told you I was old and I couldn't remember.
Do you know how the blacks reacted to integration those first years that they came over to the high school? Do you have any recollection of how they reacted to the situation?
The thing that I remember the most, I guess, was that I felt like that the ones who came first had been picked on purpose. And I believe that Mr. Massey, who was the principal at the Temple School, had chosen certain ones to come first. And I always got the impression that he had chosen people who had personalities that would be easy to get along with,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed to go very well. I think that Mr. Massey and Mr. Ramsey had worked together on deciding who was going to come first and how it was going to go. And because they took it slow and they didn't just throw us all in the pond and say sink or swim, it seemed to work very well.
Okay. That could have been some of the reason for maybe doing it a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. you know, the freedom of choice, but with the high school, just mm-hmm. bringing the athletic boys, and they really integrated that athletic program.
That's the way I understood that it happened. Now, I don't know where I got my information, but I always understood that it was freedom of choice, but we're going to choose you.
Okay. Do you remember anything specific about the football team that year? Because it seems that, you know, they did have a good year. Do you recall, you know, just the sports itself, how it was?
I wasn't involved in sports at all. I had friends that were, but I wasn't, and I didn't pay any attention. I didn't go to the games.
Before integration, what were your experiences as far as being around the black race
or
the black community?
My daddy, like I said, he had the guy that worked for him at the barbershop. But I can remember times when we would go to the quarters. One of the times I remember most was that he had killed some hogs. He was hunting and killed some hogs. And he had dressed and saved what all he wanted. And he took the heads to the quarters where the black folks lived to give to somebody who might want them over there. And I remember going with him to do that, and I must have been 8, 9, 10, probably less than 12 anyhow, when that happened. And any time we drove over to that part of town, it was always kind of scary because we didn't associate. And you heard stories about other races and mm-hmm. what they might do. And so it was always a little bit of with apprehension that I went into that part of town. That day, I remember we drove the pickup over there, and I was sitting in the back of the pickup, and we had the hog's heads that we were going to give to a lady over there. I believe it was the lady that the shoeshine guy lived with, I think. I have no idea what her name was or anything, but I believe he roomed at her house. And I remember taking them, and she was just tickled to death. I mean, she loved getting those hog's heads because she was going to use them. And as far as the most vivid impression, that was my most vivid impression of associations with black folks.
Well, that's neat. That was they were probably grateful to get the heads, the hog
heads. In fact, that story, we still use it in my family. The lady, one of her friends came over from across the street or next door, and she came over and she looked. She said, "Oh, look, got some hog's heads." And this lady said, "Yes," and I'm going to use them, make whatever she's going to make. And the friend said, "Are you going to share with me?" And she said, "No, I'm not going to share with you." She said, "Well, I'm your friend." And she said, "Friends is friends, but meat's meat." And she acted like she was not going to share with her.
So as far as your fears as a child and being around the black race, it was probably just, and would you say it was just due to just an unknown territory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It was an unknown. I didn't know how to associate with them because I didn't. And I heard adults talk about how bad other races were. Not my parents necessarily, but other adults around that we associated with. And I can remember them saying some mean things about other races.
And, of course, that would cause you to have some fears. Mm-hmm. Did the fears get better after integration and you were around black students?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you become comfortable with going to the quarters, or did you go to the quarters?
I don't know if comfortable would be the word, but less apprehensive.
Okay. So what was a typical school day like in your high school days, and let's say particularly, you know, during integration time? Was it any different than before?
I can't think of any differences at all. We had six classes. They were 55 minutes apiece. We went 55 minutes, 5-minute break, 55 minutes, and I don't remember any changes.
Did you have any black teachers in high school?
No. Now, Mr. Massey, who came over from the Temple School when we went to full integration, became the assistant principal.
Right.
And he's the only one.
Okay. And how'd you get along with him?
Fine. He was real laid back, real quiet.
Yes. I always liked him and respected him a lot.
He was still there when I started teaching.
Okay. And tell me about, as a teacher, how things might have changed from being a student and dealing with black students or being a teacher and dealing with the black race.
I felt a lot more, I don't know what you'd call it, not responsibility, but a lot more pressure, maybe, after I became a teacher. Because then I was the one who had to referee these tensions. And it seemed to me that there were more tensions after I began teaching than there was when I was a student. I started teaching in Diabol 73, September 73, I believe. And about the next 3 years or 3 or 4 years after that, 74, 5, 6, we had some pretty tough times, and a lot of it had to do with race.
Okay. Let's back up just a second and tell me about, you graduated in 1969. Tell me about your college education and your educational level.
I went to SFA, and I stayed at home, lived with my parents here in Diabol, and drove back and forth to SFA for 4 years. Got my bachelor's degree. And before I even got my degree, before I graduated, I'd already been hired at Diabol.
Okay.
I was doing student teaching in Lufkin, and Frank Latimer told me that there was an opening for a speech teacher in Diabol, and I didn't intend to be a teacher. I was just getting my certificate just in case I ever changed my mind. And I knew if I didn't check on the job, he was going to ask me, and he was giving me my grade. So I came and asked them about it, and they interviewed me, called me back for a second interview, and hired me actually before I got my diploma. Oh. And so I came here immediately after I graduated there with my bachelor's degree.
That's great. So September 73.
I believe it was September 73.
You graduated and began teaching that fall at Diabol SD as a speech teacher?
Speech and English.
Speech and English, okay. And how long did you work for Diabol ISD?
26 years.
Okay. And where do you work now?
Angelina College.
Okay. Tell me about those years that you referred to after you became a teacher at Diabol, the years 73, 74, 76. What do you remember about that time that you think was due to some racial issues?
We had some pretty dangerous times. There were some people in school at that time, and I don't know if it had to do with the difference in society or if it was just who was there. I don't know. But we had some people, boys and girls, who were very outspoken and very confrontational and very prejudiced, and there were some pretty scary times. I can remember after my first year, I was moved out of the main building out to a portable classroom outside with just a single classroom, which had been an ag classroom, and they moved me out there because I was teaching drama class and I was making too much noise up by the principal's office, so they moved me out there by myself. And I can remember watching out the window and seeing groups around on the campus making pretty scary. They were fights. I can remember one day being able to see the parking lot, and a guy went to his pickup and got his rifle out and took it in school. And I had students in my room at that point, and there was a white guy that had the gun, and there were some black students in my room ready to go get them. And I stood in the door, and I said, "You're not leaving this room." And there were more of them than me, and they were bigger and tougher than me, but I was able to bluff them and say, you can't get out of here. You're going to have to come over me to get out of this door, because there was just one door to get out of the room.
Right.
And I was able to keep them from leaving the room. As soon as the class was over with and they were dismissed, man, they took off and headed to where all the commotion was. But I was able to keep them through the class period.
Yeah. I actually remember that particular incident that you're speaking of. I was in high school here at Dyball at that time. I believe it was 74 or 75,
because
I was out of school by 75. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what it stemmed from.
I don't either.
But I just remember it being more like a riot mm-hmm. type situation, and everybody was, it was blacks against the whites, but I don't recall what it started from. And it was pretty scary, scary day. But you're the first person that I've interviewed that's remembered anything close to it. So mm-hmm. I don't know what it stirred from either.
I don't either, except that it seemed like there for several days there had been unrest.
Yes.
And I don't know what caused it or what started it. I really think it was individuals who just were biased, prejudiced, and mouthy, and stirred up some things and got more people involved in it. And it wasn't a very comfortable time.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure.
In fact, I really think that that's the reason we started having spring breaks.
Okay.
Because that was a close to springtime, and they wanted everybody to have some time to cool off, and they let us out for spring break, and it caught on, and they started doing it every year. Now, I can't prove
really?
That.
Wow,
but if I'm not mistaken, I would like to go back and look and see when spring break started, when we started having spring breaks, because we always had a day for Easter, and that was it. But at some point, we started having a week, and if I'm not mistaken, that's about that time when we started doing that.
Well, that's interesting.
You might look up the history on that and find out when Dyball School started having a week off for spring break.
I do remember, you're right, I do remember a couple of days there that, there was a lot of concern, mm-hmm. and I remember, coming to school with being fearful of what was going to take place that day.
And there were parents that wouldn't let their children come to school.
Yeah, that's right.
That
there's a lot of absenteeism going on, that's for sure. Okay. Well, do you remember any experiences that you had in the community, say, going to the grocery store or the Dairy Cream or the picture show or anything like that during your high school years, during those integration years where there was, any problems or...
No.
Outside of school?
I don't remember any problem. Okay. Now, you're talking about when I was a student again,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember, because we didn't have blacks at the Dairy Cream. I can remember one time when the owner of the Dairy Cream pistol whipped a black man. And I don't know why. I don't remember the details about it, but I remember the stories about how he had beaten the guy.
Stories that you heard from adults.
Yeah. And I don't know if he had come up into town or if it was somewhere else. I don't remember that part. But I don't remember, much association, because very few of the black folks came to the grocery store or Dairy Cream or something like that.
Right.
And I'm sure they did, but I just don't remember it.
Do you think that your high school years as a student and the integration years from the 65 through 69 were that it was a pretty easy transition overall?
It was for me, yeah. I guess my parents, when they realized what was going on, that they wanted to emphasize the Christian viewpoint or the standpoint, and they knew that you shouldn't mistreat anybody. And I guess after they realized that integration was going to become the norm, that they didn't want to do anything that would be wrong. And I'm suspecting that's why I felt that it was fairly easy to transition, because it wasn't like they were constantly griping and mouthing and saying, well, this shouldn't have been done, and just carrying it on and on and on. I knew where they stood, but after it became a reality, they didn't want to cause trouble, and they realized that it was just part of life.
And you saw them take a positive attitude toward it and respect the situation and move on.
Yeah, and I never saw them disrespect anybody even before integration. Don't tell them I said this, but I suspect that they probably, I don't know if it's right, looked down on other races. That might not be the good word, but they... because of their upbringing. You know, again, it goes back to what they brought
the
when they were kids.
Up.
You know, when they were brought up with kids, that's what they were taught.
Right.
And when they got to be adults, I'm sure it was hard to quit feeling those things because they've been taught that way for 25 years.
That's right.
Or more. And so I don't think that they ever did mistreat anybody, but I do think that they probably were biased against other races. But after we did find out that integration was going to be a reality, I think that they wanted to do the right thing.
Right. And, you know, that goes both ways for the black race as well. Mm-hmm. They were taught that way. That's what they were used to, and it was very difficult, you know, transition for them.
Right.
And the younger generation, that's just all they knew was what their parents had taught them.
Yeah.
And the same way with the white children, whatever your parents had taught you, that's what you knew. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it, you know, what it is, and everybody's experience is unique to their own, and that's just, we can't change that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it is. So, did you have a favorite teacher in school?
In high school? Oh, I don't know. Bob McCurry was always great in ag, you know, I learned a lot from him, because I wasn't a farm person, and I didn't really like messing with the animals and all that much, but he taught me a lot, and I felt like that I really learned a lot from him about life and not just ag. And I think that he did that on purpose, because he saw the need for a lot of students to get some teaching and training other than just how to work with cows or how to work with wood. Whatever. So I enjoyed being around him. Fred Douglas was a good teacher. And of course, they were both still teaching when I started teaching. And so I really kind of looked to them to mentor me and to help me through that getting started, because that's rough.
Those first years.
And those first years. And so I guess, you know, as far, I don't know if you'd call them favorite teachers or not, but I really respected them.
Especially
what they could do.
Mentors, and then maybe just left that lasting impression of their teaching skills on you. Well, I've heard that Mr. McCurry, and of course he was there when I was in high school as well, but with the boys, and he's quite a disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm, very much. Yeah, I still use him as an example on not letting people sleep in class. He'd slam a book beside their ear.
Is it working for you?
I can't do that now. I wish I could.
Did you ever have any experience of going to the H.G. Temple campus before integration?
I don't remember it. I don't think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As far as Dabaugh Day is concerned, we know from the records that the H.G. Temple School and the black community had their own Dabaugh Day activities and had Dabaugh Day queens. We have a 62 and 64 photo of the Dabaugh Day queens for the black community. Do you remember anything about that process and how they went about having their own Dabaugh Day
I just
events.
Know that they had their events over in Walter Allen Park, and the whites had theirs in Whispering Pines or whatever that was.
Was it the same event, you know, Dabaugh Day, and the same day, and they just had it?
Yes, but I don't think that the black community chose Queens the same way. I don't know.
Okay.
But I got the idea it was the same celebration, the same, I think it was the same day. I could be wrong about that. Okay. But I always thought it was, that they just had their activities in the other part of town.
Okay. Because we do have those photographs, a couple of photos in the early 60s mm-hmm. of the Black Queens and which division they were or who was representing them, you know, and but we've never been able to find out much information.
Yeah, I don't know if it
their
was
celebration.
If it was like a money raising thing like ours was or not. So I really don't know.
Did you have any dealings with any of these other students your junior or senior year besides Genova, any student that you had class with? I don't remember if we discussed that.
Johnny Jones. I want to say Roy Levice, but I'm not sure his last name was Levice. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's correct. There was a Roy Levice.
I believe uh-huh. that they were in my class. I remember being in class with them, you know, in English class or whatever, and that's all I remember.
Were there ever any incidents, you know, with the teacher and the Black student?
I don't remember any. Not when I was in school, I don't remember any.
Okay. So you were at the school as a teacher here for Diboll ISD for 26 years. What was your reason for leaving?
Oh, several reasons. My youngest daughter graduated. And there had been several changes in administration just before that, and I was very unhappy with administration at that point. And at that time, when my daughter graduated, then that was my last one here. And at the same time, somebody from Hudson called me and said, "We wish you'd come over here." And I knew the lady, and she said, "We've got an English position over here, and we'd like for you to come." And she said, "I think you'll like it over here." And so because of the other problems, I think if I hadn't had the other problems, I wouldn't have ever even considered it. But because I was pretty unhappy doing what I was and having to deal with the people I was having to deal with,
right.
I considered it. And I went over there, and they hired me, and I went over there for 2 years. I was at Hudson for 2 years. And then while I was there, the full-time position came open at AC. I was doing part-time nights and summers while I was at Hudson at AC. I was teaching night and summer classes at AC and enjoying it and really liking it up there.
Okay.
And then when the full-time position came available, I applied for it and was able to go there, and I loved it.
Good. That's great. Was there anything else that you'd like to share with us today about your high school days as a student or your teaching days at Diboll ISD?
No, I don't guess. I've always thought that Diboll schools were some of the best. And I didn't leave because I thought they were bad schools. I'm not necessarily sad that I left, because where I am now, I love it.
That's great.
But I've always felt like we had good schools, and I feel like that in general, I'll accept those years I was telling you about, the administrators and the teachers have had the best interest of students at heart, and they've always tried to do what's best. And I think that was what happened during integration. I think the teachers wanted to do what was best for students. And because of that, I think that they really tried to make everything work, and they didn't play people against one another, mm-hmm. and they didn't treat people differently. And from what I can remember, all the teachers, when I was a high school student, were very fair and consistent in the way they taught everybody. And I never saw any difference. I didn't see anybody letting the Black students slide. And I didn't see them trying to make it harder on them either.
Right.
I just felt like that the teachers did a good job of saying students are students. And I felt like that was a real plus. And I think that's one of the things that helped make it all work
great.
Easily.
Well, it seems from overall that it was a very smooth process, mm-hmm. and there really just weren't a lot of big problems in those first years, maybe some other schools
had. From what
had.
I can remember and hearing news reports and reading things and hearing people talk about other schools, we were real smooth compared to a lot of places.
Just some later years, some tension and things going on from... Well, Mr. Wilkerson, I thank you for joining us today and helping us on this part of our history here at the History Center. Thank you again.
Don't know if you'll get much out of it or not.
Oh, we will.